and we're going to continue with our message. So, well, let me start by sharing with you the story of two brothers today. This is Andrew and William Shriver. Now, these two brothers, they lived in Union Hills, Maryland, a small town during the time of the American Civil War. And each brother occupied one half of the family homestead, the family farm. There was a road running right between them, and they both occupied one half of the family property. Now, the American Civil War was a conflict. It was unique in the American experience, and it was unique because it had the power to divide even families. Right? We've heard stories like this before. And it was kind of like this for the Shriver brothers. They did not fight in the war, but Andrew supported the Union. He wanted the United States to be reunited in that conflict under the federal government in the North. William supported the Confederate States. He wanted the secessionists to have their way and to split up the nation into a top half and a bottom half. The brothers lived peaceably as neighbors, but there was family tension, of course, and during the war, the brothers would continue to visit. They would continue to be family together, but their visits would often turn into arguments, and there was just a lot of tension. They didn't get along. Well, things continued like that for a while, and then one day, the location of their homes was just southeast of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The location of their homes led to an unusual occurrence in June of 1863. Late on the evening of June 29th, a Confederate army was passing through the area. They arrived at the Shriver homestead, and so the general in command, the troops, they camped out in the fields, and the general in command went to the homestead, went to the big home, which was Andrew's, and he knocked on Andrew's door to request shelter for his officers, that they might stay there in the home instead of in the field with the troops. And Andrew being a Union man, Andrew would have none of it. He sent them away to sleep in the fields. He said, go away, even when they threatened to arrest him. Well, the next morning, those Confederates, looking for someplace better than their tents, they walked across the road. They found William's home, where they were enthusiastically welcomed. They were fed, they were entertained, and so on. They had a good morning. The Confederate army broke camp and left the area that morning, and then they were headed on towards Gettysburg, where they would take part in the Battle of Gettysburg shortly after. Well, now that afternoon, who do you think else arrived at the Shriver homestead? 12,000 Union soldiers, a Union army this time, and when the general in command of that force approached Andrew's home, this time Andrew welcomed the officers gladly. He made them at home, he fed them, he entertained them, he sheltered them, and he sent them on the next morning for that army also to head towards Gettysburg, and like I said, they would both participate in the Battle of Gettysburg shortly after. And now the treatment that both Andrew and William provided to these two different armies, it illustrates something. It shows just how divided they were. And I share this story because sometimes the church seems a little bit like these two brothers. One family, right? But divided by a road, divided by politics, divided by current events, divided by certain beliefs, and yet they remained one family with the same parents and relatives. Does the church ever seem like that to you? Like, you know, we can visit one another. We can go talk to our friends, maybe down at the Roman Catholic Church down the road or at the Baptist Church the other way. And we can go and visit and talk, or we can even visit other Lutheran churches, by the way, too. This happens. And we're friendly to a point, but then there's a tension there, right? There's certain places you don't go. If we start talking too much about theology, or if we ask why one church does this while another church does that, with regard to any of these things that Christians disagree about, baptism, the Lord's Supper, worship, prayer, the way we read Scripture, or anything, well, we're kind of like one family with these disagreements. There's some family tension there. And, you know, I think this can lead us to a kind of isolation as a church. It's like brothers who visit when we only when we have to, and when we do visit with one another, we keep it short and to the point unless, you know, we get into a disagreement that might turn into an argument. We don't want that. And so we're tempted to do our own thing. We're tempted to keep our distance from other Christians and even sometimes other Lutherans. We're tempted to think, to walk alone as a church, to think that we're it. You know, we'll make our own choices. We'll sing our own songs. We'll do our own thing. And nobody's going to tell us what to think or do. It starts and ends with us, right? But that's not good for us to walk alone as a church. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples and for the whole church. And when Jesus prayed, he said this, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through the disciples' message." That's us he's talking about. Jesus prays that all of them may be one. "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Well, one of the blessings of this day, All Saints Sunday, is that it helps us to get a bigger picture of the whole church. All Saints Sunday gives us a picture of all of God's people together. And not just us gathered here, but you know, today we're gathered with these saints whom we remember. They are with us spiritually. Today we remember the whole church across the world, in all places and in all times. It helps us to get that perspective. And today helps us to see that, you know what, hey, I am not the church, the Big C Church. Southwest Lutheran Church is not the church. Our denomination, our church body is not the church. Or the church in America is not the whole church. The church is bigger than you and me and us. And you know what, that's a good thing, because God has big plans for his church, and it's more than you or I or we could ever accomplish on our own, or as a small group, or even as a national group. Today on All Saints Sunday, we remember those Christians who have gone before us in faith, our parents, our aunts and uncles, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and so on, back in a line. For some of us, today we remember children. We remember brothers or sisters or cousins. And these Christians are connected to us. We're connected like in a great line from now all the way back to those first Christians, the disciples who first followed Jesus. These faithful people have received and preserved and shared the gospel. Friends told their friends, and parents taught their children. Family members brought nieces and nephews to church. Martyrs gave their lives. And because of all this effort, this patient and caring, and you know, for the most part, unsung, and for the most part, forgotten effort by so many people through the years, well, because of all this, you and I know Jesus today. This day is not just about remembering the people who have gone before us in faith, not just about remembering their lives, but especially it's about giving thanks for their witness. It's about giving thanks that our ancestors in the church, they stayed faithful to Jesus in good times and bad times, in times of hardship and plenty. We're giving thanks that they stood up under persecution. We're giving thanks that some of them even have given their lives to confess the truth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to earth, that he took our sins upon himself, that he died on the cross and rose again, so that you and I are forgiven now and we are reconciled to God the Father in heaven. And we know that because now Jesus has defeated death, we know that those people who have gone before us in faith, they are not just dead, but they're resting in glory with Christ. Well, today is the last message in our series, Who We Are. Today, it's appropriate, we recognize that our Christian traditions are part of what makes us who we are. As a people of God, we know we're always looking forward. We're looking toward to the future, right? But we never take the past for granted. We never ignore or dismiss the faithfulness and the contributions of all these people who have gone before us. And let me clarify this word tradition, because, you know, that's kind of a loaded word today, right? It's a word we like to argue about. Kind of like those Civil War brothers, the Shrivers, sometimes in the church it seems like tradition is our favorite argument in the church today. We ask, you know, are we traditional enough? Are we not? Are we too traditional? Is that church over there? That's when it gets really good. Are those people over there too traditional or not enough? And when we talk about tradition, you know, usually we talk about the worship service, but it's not just a worship service. It's not just the choice of songs we sing. It's not just about whether we have an organ or a band or something like that in church. Tradition is the whole sum of Christian teaching and practice. Tradition is everything that all these Christians who went before us said and did. Tradition is reading scripture in church and home. Tradition is gathering to celebrate the Lord's Supper as often as we can. Tradition is, yes, it's songs and hymns and how we worship. Tradition is the church praying together. Tradition is church holidays and celebrations like this one today. Tradition is sharing meals together as a family, as a church family. Tradition is watching out for one another, coming alongside one another in times of need. More than anything else, tradition is simply confessing Jesus, confessing that Jesus is Lord with all we do and say. Tradition is everything that these saints who have gone before us, it's everything that they have handed down to us, from prayers to potlucks, from language to liturgy, from church celebrations to caring for the least of these. And these traditions are precious gifts to you and me. That's why we can be glad that they make us who we are. You know, consider today's holiday, All Saints Sunday. We have records, church records, from around the year 150 AD. That's nearly 1,900 years ago. That long ago that Christians began setting aside a day each year to remember all the saints and martyrs of the faith. And they passed that down to us. The songs we sang this morning, one was 300 years old, one was 150 years old, one was 130 years old, and the saints have passed those down to us. And these traditions, you know, they're not just songs. They're not just things we do, not just holidays we remember, but these traditions actually represent the efforts of all the faithful Christians who have gone before us. The Apostle Paul says this in our scripture reading for today. He says this is how it works. Paul says, well, he shares the gospel, right, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God and he has come for forgiveness. He says, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul is pointing us not just to the gospel as the saving word of God here. Paul is also pointing out that someone has to share those words for them to have effect. Paul is saying, hey, I am that servant. I'm working to pass on the gospel to you all, and you have heard it, and now we can share it too. And in fact, he says, you know, sharing the gospel is not an easy task. It's not as if these people just lived lives of faith. They worked at it, just like you and I do today. Paul says, he suffered to share that message. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant. And he says, that is the church's servant, your servant, Paul says, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And so just like Paul, we know that our own parents, our own grandparents and friends and relatives, all the people represented by these candles here, we know that these people have made sacrifices to share the same word of God with you and me. You know, they have given up many Sunday mornings or weekday evenings. They have given up many other opportunities to maybe bring you to church, to take you to Sunday school, to teach you or to take you to confirmation class and then talk about those things at home. You know, they have taken you to times of learning and fellowship. Maybe they spent money sending you to Christian camps or Christian schools. And if nothing else, they've given of their time and they've made it an effort and a priority in their lives. They could have filled that time up with something else, but they didn't. And so they have taught you the things of the faith. They have invested their lives into you. So today, you know what? As a church, we really are free to do and say whatever we want as the church today. We aren't bound by these traditions. We have freedom in the gospel. But we don't take these traditions for granted. We don't take these people for granted. We don't forget them. We don't ignore their gifts. And their traditions help to make us who we are, now standing in a great line of faithful Christians, starting with Jesus and his disciples and stretching down to today. And so we take our traditions, their traditions, and we build on them, right? We make their tradition our own so that now our own friends and our own families and children and grandchildren, they can know who Jesus is too. Our tradition makes us who we are, so we pass these things on. And you know, it's very appropriate to end this message series about the things that make us who we are with tradition. Because if you think about it, all the other topics we've talked about over the last 4 weeks, you think about Jesus being at the center of everything we do and say. We talked about word and sacrament, seeking God where he has promised he may be found. We talked about evangelism, that we share this message. And we talked about vocation, that our ordinary lives as ordinary Christians help to share the things of faith. All of these different teachings and practices and other things have been passed down to us through traditions, the practice and teaching of the church. And we can't get away from these traditions. We can't run away from these traditions without getting away from who we are as Christians and as Lutherans. And so this makes us who we are. Let me encourage you to recognize that we have actually a lot more in common with other Christians than sometimes we think. We have a lot more in common with other Christians than we have different. And I said earlier, one of the benefits of All Saints Day is that it helps us to take a wider view of the church. It helps us to get a picture of all God's people together. It's not just us gathered here, but we're gathered with these people as well, and we're gathered with others around down the street and around the world, right? And throughout time. We need that picture sometimes because, you know, the Christians who came up with the idea of taking your day to remember all the saints, all the faithful Christians who have gone before us, well, they weren't members of this church or this denomination, but that's a great idea, and they shared it with us. And the people who wrote the songs we sang today, you know, in fact, believe it or not, none of them were even Lutheran, but they wrote those songs and shared them with us, and now they are beloved traditions for us today. They have passed those gifts on. Even though we have differences, and those differences are important, let me say I'm Lutheran for a reason. We have a lot more in common with other Christians than we sometimes think. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so rather than avoiding other Christians, other churches, like a dysfunctional family, we can get together. We can talk with one another. We can talk about the things which divide us, in fact. And Lord willing, we can seek the truth of Scripture together and be reconciled. And wouldn't it be great to see the church on earth be united, all one, just as those saints in heaven are one right now? I think that'd be a great thing. So that's our prayer. And this All Saints Sunday, let our prayer together be that we would be a faithful church, that we would hold on to those traditions, those things which have come before us, and that we would pass it on. Let our prayer be that we would be faithful to Jesus, we would be faithful to those who have gone before us, that we would pick up and carry on the good work that Jesus started, the same work that the apostles picked up and carried on, the same work that generations, all the saints of old have picked up and carried on, and they have now passed on to us. Because these things, these traditions, these teachings, these saints have made us who we are. Amen. Let's stand.